And what he tries to do in his last days in office, as he watches so much happening in the South, what he tries to do is come up with a way to placate, yet again, the slaveholding interests of the South. And he puts forward a number of suggestions. He says, well, why not a constitutional amendment protecting slavery in the territories, a firm protection for slavery in the territories forever? That would be one way to do this. He said we could also annul the personal liberty laws in the North. The personal liberty laws had been enacted in the mid-1850s. They had arisen out of a famous case involving a slave named Anthony Burns, who escaped from Virginia to freedom in the North in Massachusetts. He made the mistake of writing a letter home to his brother. The letter was found out. His master found out Anthony Burns was in Boston, and he moved to regain possession of Anthony Burns. And he asked the federal government to help him regain his slave property. Under the fugitive slave provision of the Compromise of 1850, the federal government was on record and was obligated to try to help recover escaped slave property. And so the administration of Franklin Pierce, another doughface Northern Democrat, in this instance from New Hampshire, Pierce decided to make an example of this and to put the full weight of the federal government behind the effort to recapture Anthony Burns and return him to his master in the South. Pierce eventually sent troops, spent about $100,000 in federal money, which would be several million in modern American dollars, to see that Anthony Burns was returned, and he was returned on a United States vessel to Virginia. A year later, a committee of Northerners raised the money to purchase Burns' freedom, and eventually he was freed. He moved to the North. He lived in Canada for a while, and he died in 1862. He's primarily important because of the reaction across the North to the spectacle of the United States government throwing its full weight behind an effort to return a man to bondage who had escaped to freedom. The North, nine Northern states, passed what were called personal liberty laws, and they said that someone in Anthony Burns' position should have the right to counsel, should have the right to a jury trial, should not be held in a government building, a public building, as a fugitive so that a slave master could come and take him back. In other words, tried to put as many obstacles as possible in the way of a master trying to recover an escaped slave. It's an absolutely fascinating case of Northern states invoking state rights to try to block the application of a federal statute. We usually think of the Southern states always hollering state rights. We're for state rights. We want state rights. But here you have Northern states trying to interpose a level of state power between a federal law that they don't like and what they see as a victim of that law in Anthony Burns. A nice turnaround of the usual thinking about state rights, and of course, one of the many ironical elements of the sectional controversy and the Civil War. Now, the Supreme Court weighed in and upheld the constitutionality of the Fugitive Slave Law in 1859, in a case titled Abelman v. Booth. So the court eventually made its feeling on this known, but the key thing is that there was passed a series of laws in the mid-1850s that tried to frustrate the workings of the Fugitive Slave Law. And James Buchanan says, let's get rid of those. That would make the South think that we're honest in our efforts to protect their slave property. Get rid of the Fugitive Slave Laws. Pass a constitutional amendment to protect slavery. Get rid of the fugitive, the personal liberty laws, I mean. Or, he said, why not acquire Cuba? That would be another thing that would send the right message to our friends in the South. We could acquire Cuba and turn it into a slave state, or more than one slave state maybe eventually, which would also make them know that we see a long time future for slaveholders in the United States. Well, other compromises were put forward, but almost all of them, like these that Buchanan mentioned, called on the North to make all the concessions. All of these things are aimed to placate the South. None of them takes into account the fact that the Republican Party had just won an election based on a plank that said, no more slavery in the territories. We will not countenance that. So all this talk of various ways to get around that was sure to fall on deaf ears among Republicans in the North. The Republicans could not give on the issue of extension of slavery into the territories. It was the heart of their platform. They would have broken faith with everyone who voted for them if they agreed to concede anything in that direction, and they made it clear that they were not going to do so.